Are we on?
Yes.
And you can hear me as well?
Yes.
Very good. Okay, well, praise the Lord, because there's that lovely verse in Lamentations right in the middle of what was a disastrous situation in Jerusalem at the time. And there's that song we sing, isn't it? The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Should we just do that?
Yes.
The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Great is thy faithfulness. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful truth that emerged from Jeremiah in a very dark situation. It's a great encouragement to all of us with whatever anyone's going through at a given point in time. Now, on the Friday evening, which seems quite a long time ago now, we looked at managing anxiety, and yesterday was more about abiding in the vine, our relationship with Jesus, and that sense of resting in him, trusting in him, that closeness and intimacy, and how he so knows us. He knows exactly how you're wired. And a few times I've alluded to the two evenings, us being sheep. Sometimes you know that because we bleat on a lot. Sorry about that, they don't get any better. You'll be pleased, or sorry to know. So I'll stop there. But there are some very good classic books. One is this one, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. It's by Philip Keller. I think it's a South African shepherd. And it's a really fabulous insight into how shepherds function in practice. And he relates it all to Psalm 23. Which is really, really good. And sheep aren't the brightest of animals. You know what it's like. We get stuck in the brambles again. So, you know, Lord comes for us. What do you think is so amazing about those brambles then? Because their wool traps them in there. And we're suckers for getting the wrong thing. So there's the Lord. He knows. Actually, is a very good shepherd. Again and again, he's very faithful. And the other one is it Max Lucado? Lucado? How do you pronounce it? Lucado? Lucado? He's written this really good book. It's more like a devotional, Safe in the Shepherd's Arms. And it overlays the technicalities here. It's good that. You just have to smile at the way these sheep behave because you think, hello. You look in the mirror and think, hello. Yep, there's another one. But the Lord loves his sheep, which is just fantastic. And he laid down his life for the sheep. And also last night when we looked at Abiding in the Vine, this book, The Secrets of the Vine by Bruce Wilkinson, is a really, really good modern-ish understanding of walking through a vineyard and how that works in practice at tending a vine. That is educational but also inspirational in terms of unpacking John 15, and has got great insights that are very helpful. Now, I did mention on the previous two evenings about L plates, and I've actually remembered to bring it today. It's as if you forget how to spell amnesia, you've got a problem. You know, but that's another story. So, and why I do this is because we can be so busy, and if you've got a professional qualification or you're managing four kids at home or something, we're so busy and focused on task. We're supposed to be human beings, not human doings. And you can so defer to the task, and that's your wiring, like the NHS and the caring professions. You don't allow yourself to stop and draw breath for yourself. Or the social services, or teachers, or if you're in business, you're always there focusing on the clients, on the task. We're very task-driven. And we've become functionaries. It can be like that in ministry as well, but we're not ministry machines. We're people. And it's very interesting when my namesake, Peter, having failed and disowned the Lord, breakfast on the beach in John 21, the Lord didn't say, he didn't do an autopsy on what happened. He just asked the question three times, Peter having denied him three times, do you love me? Yeah. Isn't that fabulous?
Yes.
And Peter was hurt by that because it wasn't so long before Jesus took one look at him when the cock crowed and he broke down and wept bitterly. Because he saw all his bravado and everything else had just gone when the test was there. But praise the Lord, you know, he knew Peter would do that, but still went to the cross for him.
Yes, yes.
He could have said, right, so I'm off now. You lot are going to go off. But he still, in his covenant faithfulness, went to the cross. And the difference between the time Peter broke down and wept and met Jesus on the beach was the cross. And the resurrection of Jesus.
Yes.
And all of Peter's failure had been borne by Jesus on the cross in an amazing way. And it's as though it's like this, that say this is a list of your sins. And for me, that book is a bit small. Okay, all the writings. That when Jesus on the cross said, Father, why have you forsaken me? At that point, our sins are put onto him. Our sin is the block to God.
Yes.
Okay? But he took that on himself.
Yes.
And in a wonderful way, he took all that that we deserved and then buried that in the tomb, rose from the dead.
Of
course. Boom. And now he can bring us to God.
Yes.
We can't add to that, can we? It's been done. What an amazing gift of love, not by accident, but intention. Because in John 17, the Lord prayed for those who'd come to faith in him through the apostle's witness, which is you and me. We've got the New Testament, come to faith in Jesus. And he prayed, amazingly, that we'd be one and that the Father would... he just thanked Father that you love them even as you love me. What Jesus is saying, Father, thank you that you love. You can put your names in. Ray. Hooray. Put Ray in. Just as you love me, Father. Isn't that amazing? Because you think, how much does the Father love Jesus? You can't compute that. But we see that demonstrated on the cross. God so loved us, so wanted us to be with him, that he gladly, for the joy set before him, Jesus endured that, knowing that would enable us to know the love of God. There's a lovely Bryn Haworth song that says, what kind of man is this that died in agony that I might know the love of God? That's some of the lines. Is very, very moving. You think, well, thank you, Jesus. Gift, grace.
Yes.
And that lavished love that is talked of in 1 John 3, verse 1, see what love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that's what we are. Not might be, that's what we are.
That's right.
And in Ephesians 1 talks about lavished grace. Praise God. It's a wonderful love.
Yeah.
It's a healing love. It's an intimate love.
Mm-hmm.
It's an infinite love. It's a sacrificial love. You could just list these things out. It's amazing. You know, an amazing grace.
Yeah.
So today, what we're going to look at is, if that is annoying you, you don't want a competition, mine's bigger than yours. I've got more to learn, but there we are. We are learners, and just to remind you, if you weren't here on the previous evenings, L stands for learner, of course, a disciple, learner, but it also means loved. And sometimes, if you come from a background that says you can only be loved if you're good enough and have to earn it, all right? That can be difficult to accept, that God loves me because in some way I have to do something to work and earn and prove lovability. But the amazing thing, and we have to somehow be perfect or whatever, but the Lord died for sinners.
That's right. Yes.
Good news. Jesus Christ died to save sinners, Paul said, of whom I'm the worst. Well,
yeah.
I qualify then for his grace.
That's right.
Right? As we all do, because we've all fallen short. But that L means a learner, but also L for love. We're loved, we're perfectly loved. As I've said in the past two evenings, despite us being imperfect, we are loved perfectly.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
And here we are again. Your love and your grace are new every morning. And every day the Lord's intention for us is in the coming ages to show the wonderful grace, the riches of his grace that is given to us in Jesus. That's Ephesians 2. Okay? And also L is in red. The blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. Praise God. All sin. 1 John 1. Okay? So, praise God. Now, we're going to look at an example, a wonderful example of how the Lord Jesus, our shepherd, our saviour, engaged with a very, very needy person. And we can learn from this for our own lives. In Matthew 9, page 687. I just want to unpack the way the Lord really knows people, page 687. He knows why you're like you are. You know, sometimes we react to certain situations and you think, why did I do that? But he knows what's behind that. Sometimes we've been hurt by a certain type of person. When you come across that type of person later in life, we can have an aversion to them because of the association with the damage from before. And that's not always gender specific. It's usually someone in authority. It could be a teacher or a parent or something like that, or where the injuries come. But the Lord knows that. And why we have difficulty sometimes in engaging with certain situations. And that's where the fellowship of the church is a wonderful healing mechanism, because we learn to understand each other and love each other, because the Lord's poured his love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. His love flows through us. Two ears, one mouth, we listen, learn, understand, and there can be wonderful healing in that.
Yes.
One example, one lady in a church I was in, every time after the morning service, she'd criticize me. Maybe I needed it, but there's something about the manner of it. I thought, I'm going to have a talk with her about this. Because it was, there's something there. So when we talked about it, what was very interesting, it turned out she'd been damaged in the past through a male authority figure. And the association was there that had been transferred onto me. And in my upbringing, because of parents divorced, I'd had some difficult times with the dominating ladies. Let's put it that way. So So the two of us were reacting negatively towards each other, not because of each other, but because of the association. In this case, of a style, in her case, of approach to me. And vice versa, just simply because I'm a bloke who's with a perceived authority in the Vatican. So the Lord knows all that stuff.
Yes.
And what's really good is he will let us sit at his feet and share that hurt. And like opening the filing cabinet, let's look at this file now, in his love, and you sit at his feet and you talk it through with him. And you tell him how it made you feel. I felt really hurt by that. And that's fine, and you can then let it go to Jesus, and he heals and forgives, but it's in his time, and he says it's time now to look at these photographs of incidents. And is amazing.
Yes.
Now, the person we're going to look at today may well have had some of these background things. It's the paralyzed man in Matthew 9. And those of you who were here in about 2002 will remember that I shared on this passage then. How many of you have got amnesia now? Right, okay. But I want to do this again because it's instructive not just for where some of you may be at today for your own life and you recognize your own need, but it's so important for us when we talk to people who don't know Jesus yet, because there's a lot of this about. Okay. And so it's educational for us to prepare us in how to share the love of Jesus with folks. So I'm going to read from Matthew, but I'll cross-reference as we go with Mark, because Mark adds additional detail. So Jesus stepped into a boat, crossed over, came to his own town. He came home, Capernaum. Some men brought to him a paralytic. There were four of them lying on a mat. And in Mark's gospel, it says the place was packed, so they had to go up on the roof and dig a hole through. So you can imagine someone digging a hole through the roof here. Now, if you Google Nazareth Village, in Nazareth in Israel, they've made up a first century village, and they've made up all these types of houses. There's a synagogue there. There's all sorts of stuff there. And they've got actors or role play shepherds. And all. It's an amazing place to visit if you go to Israel. It's run by evangelicals, and it's a witness, and the schools, state schools go, and the Jewish schools, and it's a really good witness to Jesus, because they ask, it's contemporary, and they unpack the gospel. So Nazareth Village, if you Google that, and you'll see some of these buildings and things like that. So when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." At this, some of the teachers of the law said to themselves, "This fellow is blaspheming." And Mark says, who can forgive sins but God alone? Knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk. But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, Matthew says, I say to you, he said to the paralytic, get up, take your mat and go home. And the man got up, went home, and when the crowd saw this, they were filled with awe, and they praised God who had given such authority to men. Of course, we see divinity at work here. Mm. And Jesus, Son of Man, but Son of God.
Yes.
The Word become flesh.
Yes.
In an amazing way, heaven embodied. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
That's right.
And so Jesus perfectly, you see the Godhead perfectly in Jesus.
Yes.
And because he came to us in human form, we can see and understand just how he works with us. Now, this paralyzed man, paralysis is a horrible thing. And it can be a physical paralysis, and you get certain diseases will do that. We don't know what this man's issue was, but people can be paralyzed with fear, paralyzed with very low self-worth. Most people, when they're honest, will say there's times in life I feel rubbish, if they're honest. You know, you look in the mirror and surprise, it still stays on the wall. And people can struggle with all sorts of things. With sociophobia is a word we heard. If you, you know, disengage with people for various reasons. So there are things that can paralyze us as people from functioning in the way that God wants. Sometimes if there's a love deficit, there can be insecurity and all kinds of things. We all need confidence and so on. But this man came, and imagine how he must have felt. In towns where there's unemployment, particularly the men feel very bad about that because they tend to achieve sense of worth out of what they do. It's a generalism. I have to do to achieve to feel worthwhile. This man couldn't do that. Handouts. He couldn't function, couldn't go to the temple, couldn't get married, couldn't engage socially. Useless. I'm just a waste of space. And people may have said that. You're just a waste of space. Isn't it amazing what people can say from years ago that affect us today? You know, I've heard people say, recently, my teacher said, I'd never make the grade, but they went on and became some kind of industrial chemist or something. So that kind of thing, you see. So he would have felt very, very, how would he have felt in himself, do you think? Vulnerable? Scared? Praise God he had four friends. And then you had this room full of meeting. You imagine if you were coming through the roof and being laid in front of a load of people you've never seen before. And you've got all the Pharisees and everybody's important people, all the clothes and stuff like that and outfits. How vulnerable must you have felt? Laid at the feet of this great teacher, Jesus. Now, the way Jesus handles it is amazing. Because the Lord doesn't say, oh, phew, you've interrupted my meeting. Excuse me, we've got an agenda here. You didn't sign up to any other business before arriving. You know, that's not the sort of church meeting this was on that occasion. He didn't say, wait in the queue. What we see, I'm going to say several A's. One is his amazing accessibility. How Jesus just, you can imagine Jesus just looked at the man and said three very important things which he says to you when you lay your life at the feet of Jesus in those times when you feel as though you've had it. I've had it. I can't cope here. I just lay myself at your feet again. Parent, there's many times when my kids say, Lord, I haven't got a clue here. I need more wisdom. You treat one way, the other one the same way, and it doesn't work with the second one because they're different. Many times I said, Lord, please give me wisdom for the children as a dad. As a husband, give me wisdom. As a bloke, Lord, help. Help me manage the way you've wired me. Help me, you know, retired pastor, allegedly. Help me to know how you want to build your church because I can't do that. You've got to do something I can't. But how the Lord met with this guy was just amazing. He said three very important things. First of all, he said, take heart, then son, and then your sins are forgiven. That is psychological dynamite. He needed to receive those three things before he could hear the command to get up and walk.
Yeah.
The three things were, take heart. You imagine if you're feeling really downcast and depressed and all that, and this amazing person who's the embodiment of love says, take heart. Take heart. You're my full guide. It's not, take heart. It says, take heart. It was reassurance. Are there any times you need reassurance? You know, when you're up front, you're vulnerable, whatever you do, you need reassurance. This man needed reassurance. Jesus always speaks to the need, reassurance. And then he said, what did he say? Take heart, son. Whoa, that's a great song about, you know, being a son. Walk right through it. Perfect love casts out fear. Son, that's relationship. Relationship. He's wanted. He's accepted. He belongs. Where he felt a reject, or maybe, as David said in one of the Psalms, though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me.
That's right.
Jesus, the King of Heaven, says, son. The Father speaking in there, son. How tender. I've said in these evenings, when you get off the plane in Tel Aviv, you see the little kids running up to their dads in the arrivals lounge. Abba, 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 and the dads scoop them up. Yeah. Son.
Yeah.
It's not formality, it's tenderness. Take heart, son.
Right.
So there's a tremendous reassurance, and then relationship. Our Saviour's relational. He's not an institution.
Amen. Yeah.
He's very, very personable. He's accessible. You think of the leper. Who's going to touch a leper? But Jesus touched the leper. What would that have said to a man who was so full of all that disease where he had to ring a bell 50 yards? He can't, unclean, unclean. What people would have said, get rid of him. He's unclean, unclean. The self-talk would have been, I'm unclean, I'm no good. And Jesus touched this guy. Whoa. The five responses Jesus had to that wreckage of humanity. It's a terrible disease. You smell, you can smell it a mile away. You smell a dead animal in the hedge. It's a bit like that. He couldn't go to the temple worship, nothing. But Jesus had five responses. The man came at Jesus' feet and said, if you're willing, you can make me clean. I know you can, but if you're willing, just do it for me, not as a charitable handout. For me. I'm a person in here. Five responses were compassion. Two, he reached out. Thirdly, he said, I am willing. Would he have said it with a smile on his face, embodiment of love? And he touched the man and said, yes. Compassion. He reached out, and then he touched the man and said, I am willing. Be clean. Boom. And that infusion of the life left into, boom, infused the man. And he was transformed. Just one touch from the King changes everything. Godfrey Birtle song. Do you know that one? It's a great song. And the man is just transformed by the love and power and mercy of our wonderful Saviour. This chapter, you see, three things you need to hear. Reassurance, relationship, sonship, he belongs, and then remission of sins. Your sins are forgiven. Oh. Maybe he'd been crippled by guilt. Jesus always speaks to the need. And the guilt, and whatever he'd been doing, his lifestyle, whatever, had crippled him. Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven. Now we know that's affected through the cross and resurrection of Jesus. In Matthew 8, I think it says there, the Lord, surely he took up our infirmities. He took them up and carried our diseases. He took them up. Wonderful Saviour. Boy, that guy's heart must have felt amazing, mustn't it? So that's right. It says, Mark, yeah, Steve, you might fall. It's saying, take heart, it's all right. Son, your sins are forgiven.
Family.
It's very tender, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, it's not an institution. And I think sometimes fathers we have, and sometimes I think it's generational, historical, don't know how, like the Victorian, it's like a stoic formality of father.
Mm.
But this is different in Jesus. It's a very, very tender, compassionate person, as we sung of earlier. So remember that, that reassurance, relationship, and remission of sins. Wow. And everybody said, how can you say that? Only God can forgive sins. And then Jesus said, what's easier to say? Your sins are forgiven, or get up, pick up your mat and walk. And to prove the point, he said to the man, get up, pick up your mat and walk. And off he went. But let's just unpack that a bit more. And that three things Jesus said to him. And then when the man stood up, there were three, I think if you look at it carefully, there are three aspects of movement to what he did. One is, he had to get up. All right, he hadn't walked for yonks, if that's a word that's allowed in Brougham. Ages. Get up, that was his first move. He had one, the physios, when you're getting back, you have to incrementally build up. So, get up, and he had to pick up his mat, okay. Second aspect of movement, roll it up, and then walk. Three aspects. What's very interesting here, whereas for how many years had he been defined by that mat? That's the bloke on that mat who can't walk. Now, he'd been empowered to exercise authority over that past and no longer be defined by that. I'm now defined by Jesus and my relationship with him.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
See? This is Freedom in Christ course.
Yes.
Yes. I'm a chosen, holy, and dearly loved child of God. I'm not defined by the shortcomings of background and parenthood and all of those different things and life experience. No, this man now is defined by somebody who can take heart. I'm a child of God.
Yes.
And my sins have been forgiven. Oh, what a relief. What a weight, the peace and the anointing of the Holy Spirit must have been there just to energize him. I think it must have been an enabling command. Jesus gives enabling commands. From the Spirit. And that is amazing. Now, I'm really pleased with that, the way the Lord does that, because, say, for example, the fruit we talk about and being abiding, but fruit doesn't appear instantly, does it?
No.
If you plant an acorn, you don't get an oak tree yesterday. I've noticed that as well. Or an apple seed, you know. And so with the Lord, he incrementally, little by little, encourages us in little steps at a time to build up trust and move forward and take hold of the fact, hey, I'm a chosen, holy, and dearly loved child of God. Don't say not good enough. Let's, oh, who is? Say chosen, holy, and dearly loved. That's Colossians 3, verse 12, I think. All right? Are you okay with that? Because in the end, Lord, thank you. You say that to me. Times I need forgiveness, you think crumbs, I'm beyond the pale here. And when you're more tired and overworked and overstressed, your self-perceived faults and things you've done wrong can be bigger than they really are, is perspective. If, say, on the screen of your life, all you look at is, say one of those bricks is black, and all, if I go over and all I do is look at the black brick on that wall, what am I going to see? What's going to fill your vista? Just the negative. This is where, when you come to Jesus, as one of the Psalms says, the entrance of your words brings light. I think it's Psalm 119. So if you think of a dark cave, torch, light, you can see the way. Okay? And Jesus said, my word, or it says there, the word is a lamp to my feet, light to my path, Jesus, light of the world. Brings the light of his truth and speaks truth into who you really are.
Yes.
Paul says in Galatians 3, verse 26 and 27, you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Through faith in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
For all of you who have been baptized into Christ have been clothed with Christ. Wow. That's some outfit. When the prodigal's father said, quick, the best clothes. It wasn't something from Harrods. Something from heaven.
clothed with Jesus himself. Amen? That's an astonishing truth, because that's almost like our legal status, if you like. Clothed with the righteousness of Jesus. His good enough. His good enoughness on our behalf. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now, what time have we got to finish? Time's up. It's 3 o'clock in the... No, it's not. The clock stopped yesterday.
You've got 15 minutes, if that's correct.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
What I'd like to do is, with this, is ask you to consider this and say, look, Lord, do I need you to touch my life? And we need to be honest about it. There's areas where we know, yes, I fall short, just that one touch from the King. And because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, it could be a physical healing need or whatever, it could be emotional. There might be someone you need to forgive. My mum was born again in Garden Tomb in Israel. Party of Japanese, we took her there, and party of Japanese came into the garden, and she thought, you don't deserve to be here, but then she realized she didn't either, and she forgave them because she'd been in a Japanese concentration camp for 4 years in the last war.
Wow.
She's Dutch Indonesian. Okay? And when she shared with our group in the evening, and the Garden Tomb is a very moving visual of John's gospel, it's quite incredible. You know, you could look at John's gospel and all like that. She was a changed woman. She'd become born again through that contrition on her part and forgiving what had been obviously. She started telling me once, and unrepeatable. But she managed to do that. And that was one of those association things where all things Japanese she'd had an aversion to because of that life experience. And that is a big example, but it doesn't have to be that big to have the same impact on how we are, who we are today. And Mum was in her 60s when that happened. And she went on with my stepdad to be baptised down near Brighton at a New Frontiers church, which is amazingly wonderful, grace of God. Okay? So that's why I say, look, let's come to Jesus. Dump ourselves at his feet. Or you might be one of those friends who wants to bring somebody to Jesus today and say, please, Lord, I bring my relatives to you. Or my children, and I lay them at your feet to do what I can't. Now, it says when Jesus saw their faith, when you bring somebody to Jesus, or say, put it this way, if you want to catch the train, and I know it got mucked up over the weekend, but usually when you want to go to Bedford Station and catch the train, do you go there with the expectation that no train will come? Unless you're being really cynical last year, aren't you? Sometimes. Put that aside, please. Just park this for illustrative purposes. I know it was a nightmare last year, wasn't it? To the timetable things. Nobody waits at a bus stop waiting for a bus not to come. Mm. The expectation is not that a bus will not come, otherwise you'd never go there. Mm. When you stand on the platform, as we do at East Croydon sometimes, see Jean's sister, you have to get the right platform. You can look along the track, down the track, and you can see when your train's coming. We look with expectation. You don't look with an expectation that nothing's going to happen. You just, just enjoy it. I'm a bit of an anorak. Okay? So these four men, when they brought their friend to Jesus, they did it with the expectation that he would deal with it, that he would heal him. There was a sort of confidence, like that lady with the flow of blood. I know if I just touch the hem of his cloak, I will be healed. There's this. The knower, K-N-O-W-E-R, she just knew it would happen. And maybe there's people you need to bring to Jesus. Please, Lord, do in them what I can't. Okay? Be faithful in prayer as a friend, for yourself, and so on. Just to say this word, take heart, it often comes up with in threes. Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven. Take heart. Why? Because you're a son and because your sins are forgiven. Just in the next column, that lady with the flow of blood, when she confessed to Jesus, Jesus said, it's the same Greek word, tharsei. Comes up about five times in the Gospels. Tharsei. And the lady with the flow of blood, when she confessed her daughter to Jesus, who's terrified, he said to her, take heart, daughter. See? He gets the gender right. Take heart. Daughter, Your faith has made you well. Three things here. Isn't it interesting? Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well. Later on in the gospel, when they're walking out, when they're out on the lake and they see Jesus, think of the ghost, they were terrified. He said, take heart. I am, that's a Greek word, ego eimi. Take heart, I am, do not be afraid. See, three things again. Take heart, because I'm the Lord, and therefore, do not be afraid. I'm with you. How often he says, do not fear, I am with you. Oh, I'm with you, always, not sometimes. Always, not just in church. Even in Bromham, centre of the universe. Isn't that marvellous? Bartimaeus in Mark's Gospel. Cry out, son of David, have mercy on me. The crowd say, oh, shut up, he's too busy. But Jesus stopped. Isn't that good? When we cry out, Jesus stops.
Yeah.
And he says, call him. And they say to this Bartimaeus, who's obviously sitting down, lying down, take heart, on your feet, he's calling you. I think there's a word for people here today. Take heart, on your feet, he's calling you. If you don't know the Lord, he's calling you to know him.
Yes.
And his forgiveness, and to put your life in his hands, safest place in the universe. And let's do that anyway.
Yes.
Take heart, on your feet, he's calling you. Those are three things again, isn't it?
Yes.
Isn't that amazing? And then it comes up in John 16:33, which is really amazing given Brexit. Jesus says, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. Oh, right, okay, I hadn't noticed. I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. But in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Thanks be to God who always
yes.
leads us in triumphal procession in Christ.
Yes.
2 Corinthians 2:14. Not sometimes. Today, in Jesus, he always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ because he's risen from the dead and conquered everything that's not of him out there.
Yes.
And he's done a wonderful work that enables him to actually live in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Fills us with his Holy Spirit. And he said, my Father will come to him as well and make his home. We will make our home in their heart. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
I stand at the door and knock, said Jesus. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I myself will come in and eat with him and he with me. Isn't that intimate? A meal together? Friends? Oh, please, Lord. I don't want to just look at you out through the keyhole. I know you're there. I know all this is true, but I'm just seeing through the keyhole of the letterbox. No, we need to open the door. Let him in, not just to the entrance lobby, but the whole lot. Let his fragrance fill, permeate your whole life. His love, his kindness, his generosity, his patience, his goodness, his kindness, his gentleness, his forgiveness. His renewing energy that changes everything. The relationships, give all those to him. Let him permeate those. And how you engage with people. How you are as a parent, as a friend, as a child, as a relative, as a human being. Lord, please, help me to be how you want me to be. Because in my relationship with you, that is my true identity. Okay? So when I first came to Jesus, I was looking for the answers to life and come from a totally non-Christian background and a very non-Christian background. I began looking for the answers to life and felt there was a vacuum in my life. Who am I? What's it all for? Look at the cosmos, amazing. And then had a Damascus Road experience of Jesus and his amazing love totally transformed me. Instantly, I knew there was a God and his spirit filled me. It took me a year to find out what happened. Read the scriptures. But that filling and compatibility perfectly, that God-shaped vacuum is perfectly completed and filled in Jesus and all that he is and brings to us. Closeness. Amen?
Yeah.
Right. It's still time for breakfast tomorrow. But can I just leave this with you to think about? On your feet, he's calling you. Maybe you feel the Lord's actually, today is my day, I need to come and just lay myself at Jesus' feet and receive his kindness and tenderness. Or if you've got injuries as a believer, Lord, it's me again. I come to you and lay me at your feet. Or friends. So perhaps give you time just to think about that and let's just pray. But let's also, if thinking, just to cover all the angles, please, Lord, help me to work with what I've understood more today to help relate to other people, to be able to connect them with you. Two of these, one of these, all right? And then engage in a way that can just introduce the wonderful person you are to those who so need you. Everyone needs forgiveness. Everyone needs compassion. Everyone needs to know the love of God in their heart, regardless of culture, gender, anything. And in Jesus, we know and enjoy that. Praise God.
Yes.
Father in heaven, thank you for your wonderful love for us in Jesus.
Yes.
We just come and offer ourselves fresh to you today. And thank you for your kind words. Take heart, son or daughter, your sins are forgiven. Just want to come, Lord, and this time maybe the musician. Yep, Ali can just lead us in a response time. And we can respond as we sing, or if you want to come forward for prayer, the prayer team can cover that. Stephen and team, okay? Please, take heart, on your feet, he's calling you. He is calling you. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
Personal.